So thank you all very much. I'm really happy to be here talking about evidence-based practice, partly because what I have found and what has always struck me so much is the great thing about the Healthy Start program, the thing that makes it work, is that it responds to the needs within the community. It's flexible not only to the needs in the community, but the needs of the individual women that folks are working with within the community. That, while it's its strength, has made it very, very difficult, because it's not a cookie-cutter program, to gather evidence. And so, but we have to continue to both celebrate the flexibility and find ways to collect evidence about the impact of such programming. First of all, I'm just wondering, how many folks in here live in Healthy Start communities? Okay, great. So what I want to do is, I'm going to be presenting the details of the study that we conducted. Dr. James will be taking over and talking about the broader implications and the context within which this takes place, both at the political landscape and the national landscape. Okay. I have no personal financial relationships to disclose. Kalamazoo, where you're located matters. Kalamazoo is in Michigan. It's in the southwest corner of Michigan. Within the Kalamazoo County, the Healthy Start program has a specific target area that's defined by zip codes. The zip code in the area that we serve is highlighted in black. What you have up there, what I've thrown up there, is the density map that shows where the black women who are black who are giving birth in our community are living. And you can see that we're really very much focusing and serving the areas in our community where there's very high concentrations of black women. Like many communities, those are also the areas where there's very high concentrations of poor women and poor families. The other thing that's important to know about Kalamazoo is to look at, and we've had a Healthy Start program in our community since the mid-90s. We've had one for a very long time. What I'm showing you here is just our trend over the last 10 years. But in Kalamazoo overall, our numbers, when we look at infant mortality, have actually gone down, and we've had some blips, but in general, where we stand, you know, most recently, where we have the most recent numbers, they look pretty good. The flip side of that picture, though, is that not everybody in my community is benefiting. And as the overall trend has improved, what's happening is that the gap in my community, the racial gap between white women and black women and white babies and black babies and families, is that it's continued to grow very steadily. We had seen some very strong improvements and had really reduced that gap and brought that gap down to at least, you know, better levels back in the early 2000s, when we had a lot of programming, and we had Dr. James was in our community at that point and was a huge champion fostered conversations in our community around race and racial disparities and what does it mean and what can we do about it. But we unfortunately have crept back up again. If you are in Healthy Start communities, you probably already know this, but one of the things that is so important about this program is that it is built on principles first, and the delivery mode and the infrastructure grow from those principles. These are words that I get I've taken from conversations from our case managers, and when they talk about the work that they do and how they do it and what's important in that work, these are the words that they use. And the guiding principle, again, being, you know, meeting people where they are. On paper, we deliver prenatal services to pregnant women. We are housed within prenatal care clinics, and so we recruit from those clinics. We recruit within the first, we enroll women within the first or second trimester of their pregnancies, deliver monthly home visits with case managers. Like many other programs deliver, we also conduct biopsychosocial assessments, looking at the whole woman, the environment, the family that she's in. We look at strengths. We look at what kind of gaps, that not only what are the needs, but what are needs that she's interested and her family is interested in addressing. And then we respond to those with linking her to community services, providing the information on topics that are of interest or importance to her. One of the things that I think is important about our community and the Healthy Start program in our community is because we are housed within the clinics, it allows us to be part of conversations with providers, because providers occupy a different, they're not living in these neighborhoods, they're operating in a very different social conditions, and so they don't often understand the living conditions of women and families. And so case managers function as a bridge very often in helping understand not only what the issues are, but in offering the information in a way that doesn't lead to judgment and fosters respect within the providers. Having said all that, what we were very explicitly interested in our study was we really wanted to look at, in a program that is unique in that it has racial disparities as one of its primary goals, and it adopts the principles that have been identified by the WHO and the Institute of Medicine as being fostering and addressing racial disparities. Does participation in such a program result in differential gains for black women than it does for white women? I want to talk about how we accomplish this, because one of the problems in generating evidence is looking at how do we take a program that is open to all and that we want as many people participating as possible, we're not randomly assigning people, and how do we go about creating and understanding the impact of that program when you have observational data. Our intervention was participation in Healthy Babies Prenatal Program. What we did is we conducted a quasi-experimental design, and we did that because we were able to create a comparison group, and I'm going to talk to you in a little bit detail about how we went about doing that. Because we were looking at race, one of the things that we knew from our previous work in our community was that if you put race and you look at race and poverty and all of the other predictors, and you put black women and white men in the same statistical model together, race is such a powerful predictor of outcomes that you can't tell what program you can. It obliterates and overcomes, the effect is so strong you can't always see program effects. So one of the things that we did, I think is really important here, is we looked at black women and white women separately so that we could see effects if program effects were different within black women and white women. We looked at, because we have a small program, we have about 25 to 35 babies that are born in our program every year. So it takes more than 35 babies to take a look at what kind of impact you're having. So we aggregated 3 years of birth records together, and in our state we collect a lot of information in our birth records. And I'll go into each of these when I talk about the results. And I'm also going to explain the propensity score match comparison group. And again, as I said, that stratification by race and looking for comparison groups within each race group, I think was really critical in us finding these, you know, this impact and being able to sort it out. So just doing, I have a flow chart to sort of capture our sampling. We have these 3 years of data. Over these 3 years, our sample that we pulled from constituted 9,336 women who had given birth in Kalamazoo County. Was very interested in looking just at white women and just at black women, so we split them out by race. And what we did is within that, once we had across those 3 years, we then looked at our Healthy Babies, Healthy Start records. We identified the women within our birth community who were participants. And you can see here that we've got black women in our community constitute about 20% of the birth population in our Healthy Babies, Healthy Start program. With our great emphasis on serving black women, they constitute about 65% of our program participants. So we have a disproportionate presence, which is what you see here. What we did next is we looked at, within each race, we looked at what are the differences going into, before you even enroll in our program, there are some really significant differences between women who participate in our program and women who don't. So what we did is we first looked at what those differences are. Black women who participate in our program, Healthy Start participants who are black, are more likely to be adolescent, they're more likely to be unmarried, have Medicaid insurance, not have graduated high school. They're very similar, on the other hand, in terms of their obstetric history. and their pre-pregnancy chronic disease levels, as well as their BMI and whether or not they initiated care in their first trimester. And I included when they initiated care, included that as part of their pre-enrollment, because we often don't identify women until they show up for their first appointment. So that happens before they enroll in our program. When we looked at white women and how do white participants differ from their white women who aren't participants, we saw a lot of the same criteria, and that's no surprise given our target. More likely to be adolescents, more likely to be single, insurance, high school education. In addition, white women were more likely, our white participants were more likely to be of Hispanic ethnicity. These are all important because these all serve what we're going to match our groups on. And so what we did is we used, and I'm happy to speak in, you know, very specifically to how we did this technically, but for right now, what I want to say is that by using propensity score matching within each of the groups, we were able to identify for every single black woman in our Healthy Babies, Healthy Start participant group, we were able to identify another black woman in the community who was not a participant, but who looked exactly like her on the characteristics where they were different. So they were exactly like her on, you know, whether she was an adolescent or not, whether she was a high school graduate or not, whether she was married or not. So we were able to exactly match each participant on each of the characteristics that were different going into the program and represented pre-enrollment differences. We did the same thing with white women. And we, of course, with white women, they had the Hispanic ethnicity difference too. So it's really key that we had these really strong comparison groups. Because what it allowed us to do was we had apples to apples. We can compare women who looked similarly on what we know to be really important factors and see how did the pregnancy go, how did some of the outcomes that have to do with care after participation with a Healthy Start program, how did those go, and can we compare these women on them? And so these are the characteristics that we had in our birth records that we were able to look at and compare Healthy Start participants versus not. So maternal health, we looked at gestational hypertension and diabetes, prenatal weight gain. We were able to look at BMI at delivery and whether there was prenatal STI. We also were able to look at, we set aside the initiated care in the first trimester, but we did want to know how the prenatal care went, so we used the Kestner to look at the prenatal care. Smoking and substance abuse, we would have liked to have had a lot more behavior indicators, but those are what was available to us in the birth records, and what we know is that those often are proxies for other kinds of behaviors and other kinds of social risk factors. So, and then most importantly, we were really interested in the outcomes because we want to make difference in those outcomes. So for the two outcomes that we examined, we looked at birth weight and weeks gestation. And we looked at them in each of those in two different ways. We looked at them in both the number of weeks, for instance, the actual number of weeks of gestation, as well as prematurity or not. And for birth weight, we looked at the actual grams, the actual birth weight grams, as well as low birth weight or not. So how are women different from each other? Well, black participants are different from their black counterparts. They actually had worse smoking. They had higher levels of Healthy Babies, Healthy Start participants had worse smoking levels that were statistically significantly worse, unlike white participants who did not differ from their counterparts on smoking, from their matched counterparts on smoking. Regarding prenatal care, you see gains in prenatal care among Healthy Babies, Healthy Start participants, but you see greater gains for white women than you see for black women compared to their matched groups. And you see, so that's why I say HBHS might be better on these factors within the black women box. And what we see that are similar, animation's not working great. What's similar within both groups are the rates of gestational diabetes compared to the comparison group, STIs, prenatal alcohol use. So the white women have a lot more similarities with their white counterparts than black women do. There's more risk factors in the among black women compared to their counterparts. And we didn't control for those, so keep that in mind when we look at the outcomes and we're comparing, you know, for instance, black women with their participants. What we're doing is comparing black women who smoke a lot more than their comparison group who don't smoke as much. So, and that's in spite of smoking. So first we look at birth weight, and what I want to show you is there's several comparisons that we conducted, and so each of these lines represent a comparison. This comparison looks at the healthy babies, healthy start versus non-participants. We look at it within each race group. And what I want to highlight here is that black participants have significantly improved birth weight, have significantly higher birth weight than black non-participants who are matched on those characteristics. And this is in contrast to white participants who are not, significantly different from their white counterparts who are not participants. We look at weeks gestation, and we see no difference in between healthy babies, healthy start participants, and their counterparts. So what that also tells me is looking at the fact that there's higher birth weight among women in the healthy babies, healthy start group who are black, in spite of the fact that the weeks gestation are no different. Okay. This last slide captures a comparison of race within both the healthy babies, healthy start group and race within the group of women who were not healthy babies, healthy start participants. And what I want you to pay attention to here is that within healthy babies, healthy start, black participants and white participants are absolutely the same when it comes to birth weight and weeks gestation, and that's in sharp contrast to the women in the community who were their match comparisons, and within the women within the community who did not participate, who had some of the same risk factors, black women have significantly lower birth weight and significantly lower gestation. And just to sum up what we are our conclusions from these findings, that healthy babies, healthy start participation was associated with improved care. And we know that particularly is the case for white women, but we saw some trends for that with black women as well. Healthy babies, healthy start participation is associated with increased birth weights among black infants, and that's despite higher smoking levels among these moms. And we feel that this suggests differential gains, which is really the question we were looking for. It points to potentially differential gains among black women who are participating in our program compared to their white counterparts. And do you want me to wait on questions until everybody? Okay, so thank you very much. I'm going to hand it over to Dr. James to finish off our implications, and I'm looking forward to the questions.